Good morning. Hello, everyone. How are you? As I'm sure you know, the amazing Coach MJ is wrapping up vacation today. She will be back with us on the No BS team and in the Facebook and everywhere tomorrow, I believe. So I get to spend my morning with you, which I love. I love it. Super exciting when I get to do the Q&A. You never know what's going to come out my mouth. That's for sure. That's for sure. Sometimes I don't even know. So anyway, good morning. Hello. We are going to ask all the questions today, answer all the questions. So if you have a question for me, you can put it in that little Q&A box at the bottom of your screen. I will probably not watch the chat much unless you guys are super slow. With the questions. So I won't be over there. So if you have a question for me, make sure you put it in that Q&A box. Okay. Good morning, Dawn. If you are talking in the chat, that's fine. You guys just go ahead and talk away. Make sure your blue little chat box doesn't say hosts and panelists. You want it to say everyone. Otherwise, I'm the only one who will see it. And I might not see it. Because I might not be watching the chat. Okay. If you are a brand new member, welcome, welcome. I'm Coach Kathy. I have been around a long time. I've been around No BS full time since 2019, member since about 2013. So that's like 13 years. I've had all the experiences, I've done all the emotional eating, I've done all the things. I've worked on all the things, so I feel like I have a pretty good knowledge base when it comes to helping you. Okay. So we had someone write into our support emails with a question. I'm going to start with that one while you all load up the Q&A. There's nothing in there, by the way. So surely you don't have all the answers yet, right? Surely not. Did you know you can do that, by the way? If you can't be on this call and you have a question you want answered, you can write into support at pnptribe.com and they'll forward the question to whoever, usually MJ, is doing the Q&A and she can start with those. So that's pretty cool. So even if you can't be here and you're going to be on the replay, you can still get your questions answered. Let's see. It is start week number two. Have you listened to your video this week? If you are doing the START program, it's on self-care. Man, one of those things I love, I'm all about the self-care. If you think about it, if you're taking care of yourself, if you're taking care of your body, if you're taking care of your nervous system, it's so much easier for you to find hunger and enough, for you to take care of other people, which we as the women tend to do. So, you know, that old adage, you can't pour from an empty cup. It's totally true. Totally true. So make sure you listen to start video number two and ask any questions about it. Still no questions. And we'll see what we can do. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and answer Stacy's question from the support emails. Okay. She says, good morning. As we focus on noticing self-talk this week, how should we handle negativity about life's minor events? For example, thoughts like, I don't want to get up and go to work. My commute sucks. This house is a disaster when it's really not. I think these little thoughts, which oftentimes are hyperboles and zapping my energy throughout the day and leading to unnecessary stress. Thanks in advance. Okay, a couple of things I see in this, which is so interesting to me. How many of you think or believe that everything you think is true? It's not. I will never forget, not me, well, of course not, Christy. I will never forget where I was standing in Corinne's house getting ready to podcast. Remember that old podcast I was on? Well, it's still a podcast, but remember when I was on the podcast 100 years ago? I remember where I was standing getting ready to podcast with her when she said, "You know, not everything you think is true, right?" And I was like, "What? What hoodoo are you talking about? Are you sure?" She's like, "Yeah, not everything you think is true. Sometimes your brain just offers you words. Sometimes it's old words that, it knows create, I don't know, some kind of response from you, like feeling better or eating or something like that. But sometimes what we think is, is just not true." So if we look at what Stacy offered us, and she said, this house is a disaster when it's really not, what if her brain just said, "Oh, the house is a disaster, all this is happening," and it creates drama, right? When drama is really not necessary. So what we have is we have this habit brain out here, back here, that throws these words at us. And we have this logical brain up here in the front that is able to evaluate what the habit brain gives us. Okay. Did y'all see the movie Inside Out? Have you heard me talk about this? Anybody know what the movie Inside Out is? It's an old Pixar movie that takes place in this little girl's brain. Okay. And all of the characters in the movie, in this little girl's brain, are her emotions. So you've got this little purple girl who walks around with a hunchback. She's sad. She's like Eeyore, right? And you've got this muscle-bound red guy with flames coming out of his head. He's anger, right? And you've got this la 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 la, this happy girl running around, bouncing around. She's joy, right? And there's others too. Those are the ones I remember. I think about our habit brains as one of those characters. And he's got like a visor on, and he's got glasses, and he's the file clerk. All right. He's back in the file room with mountains of file cabinets. And inside those file cabinets are old thoughts, sometimes new thoughts. And he's just back there going, "Oh, we need something to think. Ch-ch-ch, try this one. Ch-ch-ch, try this one." Going through the files. Ch-ch-ch, try this one. Right? With just randomly. That's what our habit brain does. It can offer us thoughts that are totally relevant in the moment, but it can also offer us thoughts that are not relevant in the moment. So when we see a thought come in that we really are like, "Is that what I really want to act on? Do I really want to think that? Do I really want to feel what that creates in my body?" We have the ability to swap it out or to just go, "That one's a no. That one's a no for today." So Stacy's thought, "This house is a disaster when it's really not," is a throwaway thought. Or you can call it a thought error, right? Her thought, "I don't want to get up and go to work," might be true in that flash of a moment, but I bet she wants a paycheck. I bet she's got things in her mind that she wants to accomplish at work, right? The thought, "My commute sucks." Maybe it's a relative thought. Maybe she's got a 15-minute commute. She used to have a 5-minute commute. Or maybe she was like me when I was driving to downtown Nashville, had a 45-minute to an hour commute when I used to have a 20-minute commute. You can call it sucks, or you can call it long, or you can just say, this is when I get my replay time in. This is when I get my me time. Or you can decide it sucks. But just remember, whatever it is you think will kind of land in your body in a feeling. So you get to decide if you want to carry the weight of that thought. Y'all with me? So she says, "I think these little thoughts, which oftentimes are hyperboles," everybody know what that means, right? Exaggerations, "are zapping my energy. So what I would offer to you, Stacy, is that you evaluate the thoughts that are hyperboles and decide whether or not you want to keep them, whether or not you want them to land. That little guy back in your file room, going through the files and throwing them up. Tell him to put that one in the back of the file. Or tell him to just put it in the trash or put it in the archive box or something like that. Does that make sense?" Now, when you notice your energy zapping throughout the day, I will talk a little nervous system here because that's my jam, right? When you notice your energy zapping throughout the day, it's up to you to replenish it. And how do you think you replenish energy? Anybody? You take a break. You give yourself some self-care. You drink some water, right? Rest allows you to recoup and regain energy. That's why we sleep at night, y'all. When we're tired, when we go to bed at night, we sleep, we get back up, rest, recoup, ready for the next day. You can give that to yourself. Kryn talks about this in the video, right? In those little mini moments, you can give yourself a little bit of rest. Sometimes it's just a deep breath sitting at your desk. Sometimes it's a walk down the street. That's what I do. Y'all know that. Right? Rest. Rest helps you replenish energy. And when you're using your brain all day long at work or at school or wherever you are, it takes energy, even if you're sitting behind a desk. There are days, I'm almost ashamed to say this, y'all. There are days I might get 1,500 steps. But I have sat behind this desk and talked to people all day long, and I'm tired. Because your brain, especially that logic part of your brain, uses a lot of energy. Okay? Yeah, brain's been working overtime. So that's what I would offer to Stacy. Evaluate the thoughts, recognize the hyperboles, and replenish your energy so that you don't end up at home still feeling the stress of it, still feeling the upset, and ending up in the pantry. Okay? All right. Let's move on. Moving on. Stacy, if that doesn't get it, hit me up and ask coaches and we'll talk some more, okay? Foster says, I am so glad to see it's you for the Q&A today. I'm glad to be here, Foster. I know I need some nervous system help. I have been doing more emotional eating this past week or more, combination of current events and not feeling great myself. How do I get back to self-care and stop dealing with it by eating? I end up overeating and thinking I will start again tomorrow. All right, so there's a couple things for you here today, too. All right. How do I get back to self-care and stop dealing with it by eating? You use the pause. Do you know what the pause is? Y'all know the pause? I just recorded. How weird is it that I'm on the 365 podcast? Can I just say that? On Wednesdays. I just recorded February's and I talk about the pause in one of the ones that I do in February and how we use the pause to actually settle our nervous systems before we decide to eat. So, what I would love for you to do is to you consider the pause as self-care, as your time to evaluate. Okay. Lark says, I visualize Kathy whenever I do the pause. Oh, that's so sweet. Use that time to evaluate. Why? What is it I really need right now? What is the food doing for me that I can do in another way? Okay, that's what the pause is for, is to give you a chance to take the reaction part of your brain, just give it a break for a minute, and add logic to the situation. So, current events and not feeling great about yourself, give yourself a pause and say, you know what, in this moment, I'm going to think about what it is I really need and then decide if I'm going to eat. So here's the thing, too. If you're leveling into this, it's fine because even if you take the pause and eat, you still take and then eat, you've still taken the pause. You've still shown yourself the value of the pause. Okay. So if you take the pause, then you get to decide, is food the best choice right now? And maybe it is, but maybe it's not. But unless you invite in the conversation and invite in the decision, you won't know. Then you said, I end up overeating and think I'll start again tomorrow. Why start tomorrow? Why start tomorrow? I mean, girl, I overeat. We all, if there's anybody on this call that doesn't overeat, I'm a monkey's uncle. We all overeat sometimes. Sometimes it gets away from us. Sometimes we don't catch enough. Sometimes we just rebel and go, you know what? This tastes good. I'm finishing. It's the next, that just like Kim just said, it's the next food decision that you make that becomes the most important. Because if you go, well, that was an overeat, and then move on to the next decision, that's one thing. If you're going, I'm such a loser, I'll never get this, and you go down the drama cave because you've had an overeat, it's something entirely different. That self-talk will keep you in the overeating cycle and keep you in the giving up and I can't do this cycle. But if you overeat and then you go, oh, that was interesting. Saw that I want to do, I really wanted to finish that dinner tonight. Wonder why I wanted to finish it. Was it just because it tasted good or was there something else? See, it puts you into more of an assessment mode. And when you answer the assessment kind of questions, you can ask yourself, like, I wonder what happened, or wonder what I was thinking. Then you can plan for the next time. And it gives you a way to level into the next opportunity for your pause. Make sense? Now, how do you wrap the nervous system into this? If you're doing the pause, do something that settles you. Do something that brings you back toward home base so your logical thinking brain can come back on. Sometimes it's putting down your fork and just taking a deep breath. Sometimes it's turning your head and looking outside the window. Okay? Sometimes it's having a conversation with somebody you love at the table. Do something that gives you just a little bit of reset so that you can make your next decision from a more grounded place. Susie. I'm retired. I make a list each morning of to-dos, but right after lunch, I get overwhelmed by what I have to do and haven't done. So all I want to do is eat. And that's what I do. I get almost depressed and feel like a failure. It's absurd, but that's where my brain goes. Okay, it's not absurd. You'll have to stop judging. I mean, it's one thing to recognize that you're going into overwhelm and that you're eating. That's okay, that we want to notice that stuff because that's the stuff we want to work on. But if you call it absurd, then we have to work on the self-talk too. So it's not absurd, it's your pattern. Okay? If we neutralize it into Susie's recognized a pattern, isn't that a good thing? Like, to me, that's amazing because now she's laid out exactly what's happening and she's asked for help. So calling it absurd is not helpful. Calling it a pattern is. All right, you got that? The words you use. Y'all, if you've known me for very long, you know I pick apart the words you use because the words you use are really important. Okay, they can either make you feel okay about something, they can neutralize something, they can normalize something, or they can make you feel like dog doo-doo about it. Okay, so the words you use are important. So, Susie, if we were talking right now, I would ask you, what changed after lunch? What changes after lunch that creates overwhelm? Are you getting things done in the morning? And then you're having lunch. I wonder if this is a time when you need a break, when you need a reset. Because you could be like Stacy over here going, I just don't want to do it. I'm tired. Yeah, I need a break. Right? What if you were to build in a little bit of Susie time with the expectation that in half an hour or an hour, you're going to pick the next thing off your list, not the entire list, but the next thing off your list. I, on purpose, schedule myself 45 minutes or an hour for lunch every day because I need the reset time. I mean, it's very rare. You can ask my private clients. It's very rare that I do a 12 or 12:30 call because I've already worked 4 hours or 4.5 hours in the morning. I'm ready for my brain to get a little bit of a break so that I can work four and a half, 5 hours in the afternoon, whatever it is. All right. That works out perfectly for me because I get back in there and I'm like, okay, time to go. And it's the expectation that I know that I have given myself that break so that I can go back to work. Now, am I sitting down there going, yay, I get to go back to work now? Not every day. Some days it's like, all right, get yourself up, Kathy, time to go, right? But once I sit down, I know I'm really grateful that I gave myself that rest. Okay. So I want you to think about it that way, Susie. If that helps, okay. If we were talking, I might be able to dig a little bit more, but it's not a failure. It might be an indicator that you need something, though. So ask yourself after lunch today, I wonder why I feel differently now than I did this morning, and see what you note, okay? If you need more, ask coaches. I'm there every day. Lindy, I'm having trouble shutting down my brain during the night. Go to sleep is fine, then I wake up around 2 and I'm awake until 5 with all kinds of thoughts swirling in my head. Not necessarily bad things, just things. This causes a bad night's sleep, and then the next day is full of laziness, eating. Yes. How do I quiet my head during the night? Okay. I got lots of ideas about this. One of my favorites, though, is something I heard from Coach Lizzie. And I do this a lot. And I modify it for myself. What your brain is looking for, what you're doing is you're pinging, right? All these thoughts. What your brain needs is some one thing to focus on so that you can bring all that thought energy back into one place. It's almost like you need, like it needs to be meditative. Okay. So I want you to think about the alphabet and I want you to name something you're grateful for every letter. Okay. And every time your brain starts to ping, bring it back to the alphabet. So A might be apples. I mean, it doesn't have to be big things. I love apples. So A might be apples. B might be bananas. C might be Corinne. And then my brain might go to, yeah, but you know you're gonna have to vacuum the house tomorrow and you have 14 clients and da 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 da. No, I'm on D now. D might be, I don't know, my friend Devin. E might be elephants. You can do just people that you're grateful for. Gratitude is like a magic pill for any kind of resentment or guilt or something like that. Gratitude feels really good in our body. So the more we can focus on gratitude, the more uplifted we'll feel. Now, let's say you get through the alphabet and you're still awake. Maybe you do another alphabet with cities, city names, or girl names, or fruits and vegetables, or movies. Whatever it is that you like doing, just give your brain one thing to focus on. Okay. I would not, if you can avoid it, pull out a screen, scroll, anything like that, because what happens is the lights from the screen are interpreted by your brain as sunlight. Okay? That's why they tell you to turn screens off at night. Did y'all know that? The blue lights from the screens, your brain interprets as sunlight, so it kind of messes with your circadian rhythm. So they tell you to turn either wear blue blocker glasses, which, I don't know who has those anymore. Some people do, I suppose. Or you keep the screens away from your face so that your brain can actually recognize that it's nighttime. So that's what I would do is I would give myself something meditative to do. Y'all know I'm Catholic. Sometimes I pull out my rosary beads and I'll say the Hail Mary over and over again or something like that that focuses me in one place that's sort of meditative and I usually fall back to sleep. That's my suggestion. What can I have to eat right now? What can I have to eat before I'm hungry due to scheduling? And how do you know when to stop? So this is like almost like preemptive eating, right? Almost like I don't know that this is always bad, but right now, if we were talking, I would ask you what the problem is with, why are you scheduling eating? Okay, but if in fact you need to eat in advance, because let's say you've got a 4-hour meeting you can't get out of and you'll be famished by the end or something like that, I would eat something very easy to digest. I would not eat, you know, if you know that you want to be hungry in an hour, I'd eat a piece of fruit. Okay, because fruit to me, you know, I can eat an apple and be hungry an hour later. I would not eat nuts or anything heavier or denser because I, you know, nuts are going to keep me for 3 or 4 hours. Okay. So when you ask yourself, what can I have to eat so that I don't get over hungry? Kind of think about the time frame in which you want to be hungry. Does that make sense? So if I've got a couple of hours, I might eat a piece of cheese because it's a little bit more dense. If I've got just an hour or something like that, I might not eat anything, or I might eat an apple. All right, so something that's not terribly dense, that's easy to digest, that you know you're going to be hungry again soon, if the time period is short, if the time period's longer, something that's a little bit more dense, like nuts or cheese or something that has a little bit of fat and protein in it. That would be my suggestion. Tammy, I just started private coaching. Yay, good for you, Tammy. And I'm amazed already. I would be curious to hear what you have to say. We figured out that I feel a threat and go away from home base when my time is threatened, especially on Mondays when I have my list of things I want to get done. I get a lot of family pop-ins during the day. I live on a multi-generational property and want to enjoy my family. I go all the way to the top of the emotional ladder worrying I won't get all of my stuff done. And then she says, curious as to prevention tips and tips to bring me back to home base. Okay, so what's happening here is you're going, you're leave. All right, so do y'all know what home base is? When we talk about the nervous system, home base is where we feel our best. Okay, we feel present, calm, settled, grounded, happy. You know, the energy in our body isn't off the charts. It's not too low. It's not too high. We're productive. We're methodical. Okay. It's where we function best, where our logical brain is fully online. What Tammy is saying here is that when her time feels threatened, she begins to worry. She begins to get, I'm going to offer you anxious probably because you go above home base, nervous that you won't get your things done. So that adds energy to your body. Okay. And you start to go above home base. When you go above home base, your body recognizes that. And it says, something's wrong here. You know, we have too much energy. What's the problem? And it wants to regulate, it wants to bring you back to home base. And what a lot of us do to regulate is to eat. Because think about it. When you were a baby and you squawked, what'd your mama do? She stuck a bottle in your mouth, right? So we've learned from a very early age that eating makes us feel better. When I didn't make the 8th grade cheerleading team, my mother took me for ice cream. It's just the way we were raised. So what Tammy is saying is when she begins to feel like she's not going to get her list done and she begins to go above home base, then she wants to eat to bring her back to home base. Now, eating in this situation, if we look at it with our logical brains, eating does a couple of things. It does regulate you. It's chewing and swallowing. It distracts you, all that kind of stuff. It's also using time that you could be spending on this list of things that you could do. And it has the unintended consequence of prohibiting weight loss or causing weight gain. So logically speaking, eating is not necessarily what we want to be doing in this moment. And I think Tammy knows that, and that's why she's looking at it. So that's perfect. So a little background. The problem here might be the worrying, Tammy. There could be a couple of things. If you are worrying and you are engaging with the people who have come to visit, you are making a choice to not do your list. So let's pull the responsibility kind of back towards you. When somebody pops in and they sit down and they're ready for coffee and you sit down with them, you're not saying, hey, you know what? I got this huge list today. Can I get back to you in a few minutes? You know, maybe later today or tomorrow, can I schedule you in? Right? You want to be able to enjoy them, but you have to decide in the moment which is more important. Is it the list or is it the person that's dropped in? If you decide it's the person that's dropped in, I would tell myself there's no more worrying about the list. I'll redo it tomorrow. Okay, and that keeps you more grounded, right? Because the worrying adds the energy and feeds the anxiety and feeds the nervousness about the list, right? So there is preemptive work to do. The flip side is if you get to the top of the emotional ladder or the nervous system ladder, you call it the emotional ladder, doesn't matter. If you go above home base and you see yourself beginning to eat, right? Maybe you stop and go, what's on that list? What's something easy on that list that I can do to kind of bring myself back into the zone of working on the list? All right, that's how you manage overwhelm, because I suspect there's a little bit of overwhelm that comes in as well, right? So the other thing you can do is if you know this happens on Monday, maybe you lighten your list on Mondays. That could be another preemptive thing to do as well. But when you're above home base, you have the extra energy in your body, you need to burn the energy. Okay. And burning the energy for me looks like a short walk, looks like a dance party behind my desk, looks like singing. Did y'all know singing burns energy? I mean, think about the breathing that you have to do when you're singing. There's a lot of deep breathing, there's activation, there's voice activation, there's energy used when you're singing. There's any kind of exercise, there's longer exhales, deep breath in and a long, strong exhale out, like a. You ever seen somebody do that when they're frustrated? They'll go like that. My husband does it all the time. That's their inherent way of letting out some of that frustration energy. So when you find yourself above home base, you want to dispel some of the energy. So hopefully that helps. If it doesn't, check with your coach, write in to ask coaches, holler at me, whatever it is you need, okay? All right. Shannon. I do so well during the week, follow my plan, pay attention to hunger signals, drink my water, and then weekend arrives and I throw it all away. I start eating based on cravings versus hunger, ignore my hunger signals, and just eat, really overeat for pleasure because deep in my brain, food equals pleasure and celebration. Shannon, have you taken the weekend eating course? I would really look at that course. I would go back. I don't know where I can't tell here, obviously, where you are in your no BS life. If you're brand new, weekend eating is coming. Okay. But if you're not a brand new member, I would look at the weekend eating course. What happens to us on the weekends, I think, is that we have worked hard through the week to maintain a certain level of productivity, right? We've gone to work, we've taken care of the kids, we're doing school, we're fixing dinner. So we've maintained this level of productivity. We've made our plans. All of this kind of feeds together, creates a routine for us. Then the weekend comes and we're like, whew, that was a week. I deserve some downtime, right? That's what happens to me. I'm like, oh, Friday afternoon, Ken, let's go to happy hour. Or let's go out to eat. Or get me out of this house or something like that. It's like a whoosh happens. And I've made the week so hard and so regimented that I need relief on the weekends. Could that be what's happening? How can you put ease into your week so that you can also carry that ease into the weekends? Maybe it's planning a little bit on your weekends. Maybe it's recognizing the need for pleasure outside of food. What did I say, right? I said, Ken, you got to get me out of this house. There are weeks I don't leave the house between Sunday and Friday. I mean, and I'm astounded. I'm astounded by that. I'm like, I'll get in the car on Friday afternoon and I'll think, I have not been in this car since Sunday. And I'm just shocked because I'm a wanderer. Y'all, if you ever travel with me, I love to wander. I love to shop. I love to, see things. I love to do things. I love to adventure. So I'm really looking for that on the weekends to kind of feed that part of me. So when you're looking for pleasure on the weekends, how can you find it outside of food? Right? I think that's the real key here. It's back to that question, what do I really need right now? Do I really need a cheeseburger and a glass of wine, or do I need connection and fun and excitement? Do I want to be, less in routine but taking care of myself at the same time? So that's what I would look at, Shannon, if I were you. I'd look at the weekend eating course and look at what else could bring you pleasure. Offer yourself some other options of what could bring you pleasure on the weekends. Sharon, do you have any idea why I get aggravated when I've reached enough and still have food on my plate? I've portioned it out by calories and it's already a deficit for the day. Okay. Why do you get aggravated when you've reached enough and still have food on your plate? I'm going to bet, Sharon, it's because you really want to continue to eat. That there is something that food, you have given that food a job to please you in some way. Or it could also be this conditioning we got as kids where, we had to clean our plates and we couldn't waste food and, starving kids in China. And, that's what I heard all the time, right? So it bumps against a belief system and it's giving you a job, or you've given it a job to please you. Okay. I want to give you a hack to try. All right. When you hit enough, I want you to take your plate. Don't do anything with it. Just put it in the refrigerator, just like it is. Just like it is. Okay. I'm kind of a food safety weirdo, so I don't want you to leave it out. But I've done this, especially at lunchtime. I'll do this. I'll put my plate in the refrigerator, and I'll tell myself, when you get hungry, that's your snack. You get to finish that plate. And sometimes I finish it and sometimes I don't. I don't even put foil on it. I don't keep it in there for very long either, okay? Because, anyway. So think about it that way. Also, the other thing, the second part, you've portioned it out by calories and it's already a deficit. Your body might be like, we've not had enough. You're in a deficit. Your body might be under stress because it thinks you're not giving it enough food. You're not giving it enough food to manage the day, especially if you have given yourself this thought that you're in a deficit. That's why we don't count calories, y'all, is because it just adds more rhetoric to our brains that may or may not be true. All right, you can eat broccoli and chicken all day long and find hunger and enough. But that doesn't mean you're giving yourself the nutrients you need. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. But when you just focus on hunger and enough, then and not worry about calorie counting, you haven't added that extra aspect, that extra thought to your brain. So, Sharon, my challenge to you would be two things. First, put the food in the fridge. But second, stop the calorie counting just for a few days. Let your brain have a fit. Right? Because it's going to. I worry that eating to enough is eating to maintenance. It's not. It's eating to what your body needs, Sharon. Okay? I want you to try it. I mean, seriously, I'm going to watch for you and ask coaches because I want you to try this. Let's see, today's Wednesday. I want you to email me, send me a note and ask coaches on Monday telling me that you have tried this. You're not counting calories, you're eating hunger to enough. And see how your body feels. See if there's less stress around leaving food on the plate. Okay? Sometimes we have to work with our brains. And when we tell ourselves on the front end that we're in a deficit, guess what? That's what our brain's gonna focus on because that's the threat. That's the thing that, your body doesn't wanna feel a threat. And you say, I'm in a calorie deficit. I don't know how that feels to anybody else, but I'm like, no. I need my body to have the calories it needs. So that's why I do hunger and enough. Because, and here's the other thing, Sharon. I don't know whose calorie chart you're looking at. I don't know what kind of scale you have, but how do you know? How do you really know what a calorie deficit is for you? If you're checking a chart, it's based on averages of a lot of people. We know hunger and enough. because we feel it in our bodies individually in individual ways. Our body isn't running around with a tattoo across our forehead saying, you'll be in a calorie deficit if you only eat 1500 calories. Right? Okay. I'm going to look for you, Sharon. Dawn says, for the last few days, I have been grieving a legitimate loss. I'm so sorry. But I was also hard on myself, thinking you shouldn't be this upset. Yesterday, I cried really hard, and I woke up this morning with my body sore and feeling really worn out, wondering about how to find my way back to home base. I want to move in the right direction without using shame or meanness. I'm 100% in agreement that you need to move in the right way without shame or meanness. Grief is a very, very individual process. You didn't even have to tell me it was a legitimate loss. If you had just said, I've been grieving, then my answer would be the same. You don't have to justify your loss to yourself or to anyone else. Your grief journey, how you grieve, how hard you cry, the thoughts you have is unique to you. I studied for a while a coach named Krista St. Germain, who is a specialist on grief. She actually specializes in with widowed moms because she is herself a widowed mom. And when we do you remember Heidi? We lost a team member about almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, to cancer. And she came, Krista came and spoke to us. And she the biggest impact she made on me was that there are no stages of grief. There's no process, there's no 10 steps, there's none of that. Grief is messy. There, it's not linear. Think of a string, along a string, and we go through each step. No. Grief looks like a big ball of twine that's all tangled up. Okay? Because none of us processes grief in the same way, just like we don't process anything else in the same way. All right? So if you give yourself the gift of saying, I'm grieving right now, I am processing this in my way. It doesn't have to be a legitimate loss. It is a loss to you. Then you will remove the shame and meanness. Okay. Grief also has no time limit. I saw this in the chat, and that's very true. Grief has no time limit. I lost my dad 10 years ago. I don't grieve him as hard, but I still grieve him. Right? I'll always miss him because I loved him, because it's a loss in my life, right? I don't grieve just, I'm not grieving your loss, right? Because I didn't know your person or your event. But I grieve my own losses and I grieve them in my way. So give yourself that gift. If you have to cry really hard, that's fine. If you're sore the next day, that's okay too. It's probably because you're so tensed up around the grief. Right? And wondering how you find your way back to home base, I'm going to tell you, it's feeling the grief. You have to feel these emotions, especially the tough ones. You have to give yourself that gift in order for the emotion to pass through. Okay? I did a grief call. I do grief calls often. If actually just go to the website and search grief, and you can listen to any of my calls where I coach grief. But that's the nuts and bolts of it. Okay? So be kind to yourself, Dawn. Allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to feel the loss, because then you also feel the reason you feel the loss, the love, the connection. Okay? All right. Holler at me if you need me. Anonymous wants to know, will you be doing your nervous system group program again this year? I do not know. I do what the queen asks me to do. So, if she asks me to run the group again, I will do that. If she asks me to do a Wednesday 365 on the nervous system, I'll do that. If she asks me to write a course for the membership, I'll do that. What I do know, Anonymous, is that Corinne is all in on the nervous system work. She believes in it. She believes it's tied to emotional eating. So I think you're going to have all the information that you need. All you have to do is ask the questions. You can do that in my How to Feel the Hard Stuff calls once a month. I think I have one next Tuesday. What day is Tuesday for the replay? Tuesday the 20th, 5 o'clock. We can talk about grief. We can talk about the nervous system. We can talk about all that stuff. I'm in the Ask Coaches. I'm in the Facebook group. I am all over, all over. So I think you'll get what you need. Okay. Shannon, I see that you say you're new, you haven't taken the weekend eating course yet. That's fine. It's coming after you finish No BS and probably emotional eating, you'll hit the weekend course. So if you, I gave you some other tips, Shannon. So if you still need help, just write in to Ask Coaches. Okay. All right, Krissa, I'm feeling very defeated today. I've been tracking my food, getting all my water in, and I get the hours in bed that are needed. I was really feeling lighter in my body. My scale broke a few weeks ago and I haven't replaced it, but am at a house that I've used a scale before. I'm up 4 pounds according to it. I really felt I was on the right track with eating. When hungry and stopping it enough, I've been analyzing what I ate and how. Okay, so why are you upset because a scale told you? I'm going to tell you a story, Krissa. You ready for this? Our scale broke, right? I'm almost ashamed to say this, but I'm a daily weigher, probably 5 days a week. Okay. When I remember. So I know my trends. Okay. But scale broke. Batteries wouldn't work. You know, something happened. It just died. So I went down to the Target and I got myself a $20 scale and I got on it. It was 6 pounds heavier. Six, y'all, 6 pounds heavier. And when I say I'm a daily weigher, I'm one of those people that gets up, drinks my coffee, goes to the bathroom, turns on the shower, takes my clothes off, and weighs. That's how I weigh. Shocking, right? I don't weigh at random times of the day. I make sure I have the consistent circumstances within which to weigh. So I get on this scale and it says 6 pounds higher. So I pull out the box and I'm like, the heck with this scale? And it says on the box that there's a tolerance, that it's not perfect. There's like a, I don't remember what it said. Maybe it was 4 pounds higher and it has 6 pound tolerance. My weight did not change that much in one day. The scale changed. And that's what I see in your post. If you know in your heart you've got hunger and enough and you are looking, watching what you're eating, what does it matter what the scale says? Right? You're giving your body what it needs. A scale is just an arbitrary piece of metal that you stepped on at somebody else's house. Right? Don't give that scale your happy. Right? Don't give it your sunshine. You keep that sunshine knowing that you're doing exactly what you want to be doing to take care of your body. Virginia. I'm a former member and recently rejoined during the Lose 10 in November, December. Welcome back, Jack. I was doing well those first 2 months and ended around 8 pounds down, which I was thrilled with. Congratulations. The last couple of weeks, my weight loss has been going up, up to where I was when I started, and nothing habit-wise has changed. Do you have any advice on this? I'm wondering if I should eliminate the scale for a bit to focus on building my habits. I'm still working to get up to 64 ounces of water. Seeing the scale going up feels defeating. Okay, here's Virginia, here's what I want you to know. When you lose weight, as you lose weight, the amount of food your body needs also goes down. So if you're still eating the same amount that got you down to 8 pounds, it might be creeping you back up because you might be overeating in small places. And I want you to think about this, Virginia. If you eat two bites a meal, more than enough over 7 days, let's see, 2 times 3 meals is six. 6 bites times 7 days is 42 bites. That's probably at least two extra meals. You have overeaten in 2 bite increments. So as you lose weight, everybody hear this, as you lose weight, you're always having to recalibrate enough. You're always needing to pay attention to enough because the same amount of food you need at, let's say, 200 pounds is different than the amount of food you need at 190 and 180. Okay? So I would watch for that. So make sure you are really focused in on enough. Trudy. I have a very sensitive startle reflex. Girl, me too. Drives my spouse crazy. Is there anything I can do to calm it down, or is it just who I am? I want to say both. I also startle very easily, and it's usually because I focus really hard. I'm a good focuser. So if Ken comes up behind me or there's a loud noise or something, I do startle. I think that's part of who I am. But the other thing I would offer you is if you're startling because you're anxious, because you're already above home base, then look for that. So when you're startling, are you at home base? Are you focused like me? Or are you somebody who rides high energy? And can you manage that in order to manage your startle reflex? Make sense? Let me know if you need more on that. Ken A, I just want to shout you out for a minute. You are doing the work. I see you everywhere. And it just thrills me, Ken A, I hope I say that right, that you are showing up everywhere and doing this work and asking the questions, and you just, girl, y'all just need to give her some love because she is working it. It is Ken A. Okay, good. I'm doing Saws and Plateaus pathway, realizing I was eating past enough 2 to 3 bites, aka eating to maintenance. I've realized my enough is emotionally enough and leading to maintenance. Good for you. See this, y'all, this is what you get. This is the realization, the awareness that you get when you do the work, right? My brain goes crazy when I'm leaving food on my plate. How do I get over the worry of being hungry later? You tell yourself, if I get hungry, I can eat. That's it. Give your body that assurance. That's what this is about. I'm going to stop it enough because I'm figuring that out. And when I get hungry, I can eat. I can decide if that's what I need. That's all you got to do. And just telling yourself that, it's like, oh, okay. Maybe that's not that big a deal, right? I've spent so many years eating. I feel like I've spent so many years eating until overfull that it's very hard. Yeah, I think you just tell yourself that, you just create safety. That's all it is, Kanae. Just create safety. If I get hungry, the food is right downstairs. I have a protein bar in my purse. Whatever it is, that food is not scarce. I can go to the store. I think that's all you tell yourself. So when you find enough and your brain's like, yeah, but are you sure? You're like, Make sure that logic brain comes in a loving, compassionate way and says, yep, Kenny, we got this. Because we know what to do if we get hungry. We go make our next meal. Safety is key. I've never had food scarcity in my life, so I'm not sure where it's coming from. It's just your brain going, are you sure? Are you sure we've never done this before? It's your brain adapting to the change. That's all that's happening. But just give it some love. Give it some love. Answer it kindly. Darina, my quarterly checkup for cancer is coming up the first part of February. I can feel the anxiety coming back. Understood. I was diagnosed with a routine mammogram June 2023. Mine was July 2023. And the shock of everything was great to you have cancer was off the charts. I understand 100%. Any tips for helping me calm myself down each time scans and blood work come up? You know where I've gone with this? So for those of you all don't know, I had a breast cancer diagnosis in 2026, 2023. Yeah. From a mammogram, a routine mammogram that I almost decided I didn't need and postponed. So I'm a fan of the mammogram. Suzanne has her biopsy tomorrow. I'm going to ask you this, Darina. If in fact your cancer has returned, wouldn't you want to know? Yeah, I would. I am so grateful that I had that mammogram in July of 2023, because if I had postponed it, I don't know what shape I would be in today. Yes. So that's how you manage that. Now, none of us wants cancer. None of us wants cancer to return because, that sounds like a very scary thing, right? That's the threat. But if it's there, I want to know so that I can manage it, so that I can take care of it, so that I can get my Janet's 10 years clear. Good. See? So that I can get the treatment that I need from the people that I trust so that I can continue to live a long, healthy life. That's just the way I have worked my brain. So twice a year, I see my oncology people. I'll tell you this funny story. Last time I went, I didn't need a, I go every 6 months. I saw the surgeon and they didn't order a mammogram. And I was like, "Was that a mistake?" And they were like, "No, they've got this special mammogram now." I'm like, "Are you sure? I feel like I should have a mammogram. What if something's in there?" They're like, "It's okay. We've got this technology. We've got this stuff. We checked your blood work. We've done this. It's okay, Kathy." So for those of us that have had a cancer diagnosis, I totally get it because we had that experience. But I have really come around to the fact that I want to know because, what I went through wasn't, I'm obviously okay now. Let's just put it that way. And I want to stay okay. So let's just take care of it. That's how I look at it. I hope that helps. I hope that helps. I hope that helps all of you. And I'm going to be that I'm that person who yells and hollers, please get your mammograms. Okay? Because at 58 with no family history, I wasn't expecting it, but I'm so glad I looked at it. Should I be doing the weekend eating course if I just finished Lose 10 by the New Year's course? I think I would stick with Start. Stick with Start for now. Shannon is responding to me saying, just wanted to respond to your question. Wasn't sure how. Thanks for your help. She's all set. Good. Awesome. Darlene, I too am very jumpy and startle very easily. I never thought about asking for it. My dad did the same thing I do. I just never figured out why it's so bad. Why is it bad? Maybe it's just your reaction. Yeah, I startle. I don't like, I mean, I'm just a person who doesn't really care for loud noises. It's just part of my personality. Shocking, I know, right? Because I'm pretty calm most of the time. Pretty low key. I love silence. I'm introverted. I just startle. I just don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it's something, one of my somethings about me. Maybe that's how we look at that, right? Mary, I had TKR for those of you who have not had it. That's total knee replacement. I have had two 4 months ago. My red blood count was low and is getting back to normal range. I ate breakfast but feel so tired and low energy. I ate around 9:30 a.m. and still tired, so I just ate half a scone but still feel tired. How do I know I need a nap or to eat? I don't feel like I can decipher this well. Okay, I wouldn't eat because I'm tired. I would rest because I'm tired. Mary, total knee replacement is no joke. It is one of the most intricate surgeries that you can have because the knee is very complex. I'm not going to get into a lot of the stuff that they do, but they do move a lot of tendons and ligaments. They do move muscles. They do all kinds of things that they have to get out of the way in order to do your knee replacement and then put back together. And then you have all that deep healing to do. So there is a lot of energy going into healing your knee. All right. So I would expect to. Plus, if you're like me, you're probably not sleeping very well because it's hard to get comfortable. And you're only 4 months out, right? So instead of eating because you're tired, I would rest because you're tired. Especially if your red blood cells are coming back up. Now, if your red blood cells were still low, I would talk to the doctor about, do I need an iron supplement? Should I eat more red meat? How should I manage that? But if those are coming back up, then it might just be the fact that your body is working very, very hard right now to heal that knee. I was told, and I believe this, I had my knees done. In 2024, Right after I had, honestly, right after I had the breast cancer, because I thought I got to get all this taken care of, Ooh, Kristen's mom had total knee replacement this morning. Woo. And I bet you it took a year for me to feel normal again. And I did mine like 4 months apart. I did one in January, one in June. And I bet it took about a year for me to feel like I had totally, fully recovered. But as Sue says, every ortho surgery truly takes a good year to fully recover. So give yourself the gift of a little bit of compassion and understand when you need rest, especially if you're not sleeping well at night. Okay? That would be my advice to you. As y'all can tell, I have gone through a lot of stuff. I have a lot of advice in this brain of mine. All right. That's all the questions. Thanks for hanging with me. If you need me for emotional support, nervous system work, weight loss, knee replacements, breast cancer, regains, medical weight loss, anything, I got you. All right. I got you. Just holler at me. Ask coaches, Facebook group. Private coaching, whatever you need, I'm here for. All right. You guys take care. See you soon.